Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Get cozy with Tommy John loungewear, pajamas, best pair you'll ever wear. It's free guaranteed. Right now, $25 off site-wide. They don't do that much. Go to TommyJohn.com, code HERD. It's a great site. $25 off site-wide. Their loungewear is amazing. I wear their t-shirts every day. And I don't even like t-shirts. I really don't. I'd just be naked out here if I could. I'm just free. Well, I mean, not totally, but I'm a free guy. I don't like be encumbered by, you know.
I thought you said you wear your button up at home.
Well, I'm a professional when I get home.
Oh, yeah. That's only when Ann is home.
That's right. I'm a businessman.
When Ann's out of town, you're just leaving
covered
doors open.
Oh, it's incredible.
Not using coasters.
Dogs on the kitchen table. It's a mess. TJ Hushmanzada is going through a home building issue. He's been building a home for 2 years. His new place is done, and we just spent 10 minutes talking about, folks, just buy a new home. It's not worth it. TJ's joining me. 11 years in the NFL, pro bowler. God, I feel your pain. I've told so many buddies in my life, I want to rebuild my home, and I always say, is your marriage good? If your marriage is good, go for it. If you're on the rocks, just buy a new home. It's too much construction. So he's got a good marriage. He's got a smile on his face going through a brutal 2 years. I want to start with this. You've been on good teams. Sometimes Jimmy Johnson said this. Sometimes you show up and you just get your arse kicked. And I look at Tampa and I'm like, nothing about that was good. If you were a Buccaneer the next morning, can you just get over it? Is that easier to get over than a close loss?
I'm not. When you lose the way they lost, I don't think it's easy at all, considering the way opening weekend went for them against that same Saints team. And so it was like, oh, they won't play this bad again. There's no way the Saints can beat them this way again. And they beat them worse than they did the first game. And so for me, it would be tough to get over this. But obviously we have to. It wasn't a competitive game. They had no answer for the Saints. They couldn't do anything. And for me, until they start to beat really good teams, it's going to always have that thought in the back of their mind, like, are we really as good as we think we are? Because if they get behind against another good team by double digits, that Saints game is going to be in the back of their mind. And a guy like Brady, maybe not, because he had so much success. But the majority of that Bucs roster has been on that team. They're going to revert back to, oh, man, here we go again type of feeling.
You know, it's interesting. Joy and I on Antonio Brown are like, you know, we'll just play. We're not going to make any predictions on this. I did feel like that they were forcing it to him. And I felt like Mike Evans got, and who I think is the better player right now, the bigger, easier target, big catching radius, and then throw much to him. And this is what worries me. Receivers want looks. It's a real thing. Like, right, you guys are the NBA players of the NFL. You break the huddle first. You're the most athletic guy. Like, you can ignore an offensive guard. They always get ignored. But when Mike Evans doesn't get looks, I'm like, that ain't good. That ain't good. And this is what worries me. So go back to your career. You had the kind of personality with Ocho that you understood it, but you still wanted your licks too. And there were games that you felt forgotten. And I felt like, why are they forcing it to AB? It's week one. Like, did you sense that at all?
I don't think they were forcing it to AB. They didn't have a lot of snaps in the first half. They were three and out, three and out, three and out. So they didn't get to run a lot of plays. Now, with that being said, you don't want to have Mike Evans doubting where he stands. That's the biggest thing is, okay, yeah, I was okay with AB coming on the team, but I still need my looks. And so I believe what needs to happen moving forward is when you go over the first 15 plays of the game, we all know as receivers, we look at the script and we say, okay, they're trying to get me the ball on play three. Oh, they're trying to get me the ball on play seven. As long as you have plays that you feel are designed for you, whether you get it or not, you feel okay about that. But they need to get first downs in order for that to come to fruition. And they were so bad and anemic on offense, they had no chance. But yes, they need to make Mike Evans feel like we are trying to get you the ball, whether it happens or not, make him feel that way.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You know this a lot because you've been at these high school football camps. You've been, you kept telling us over and over, you're like, Colin, Justin Herbert's going to be unbelievable. You kept telling us, you're like, this kid is unbelievable. I watched Tua, and I'm like, that kid hadn't played in a year and a half. When you watch all these young guys come in, and they are good now, are you shocked, or have you been seeing this for 5 or 6 years at these camps? They're just smarter kids.
I'm not shocked at all, and we've talked about this before, is these kids are seeing different coverages in high school in these 7-on-7 camps. They're getting so many throws, so many different looks. Yeah, the speed of the game is different, but the looks are somewhat similar, albeit they're not disguising as much. So they have an idea of where to go with the ball when they see certain covers. They see a single high safety. We're going to work this side of the field. We see a two high safety. We're going to work this side of the field. And so that's what it is. These guys are getting so many throws before they get to college and seeing so many different looks that when they get to the league, they're ready to go. It's just more the mental capacity and slowing yourself and calming yourself down. And once you do that, you see what these guys are doing now.
And, you know, we talked about this. Joy and I talked about this. Quarterback play, they're better. They're better earlier. I actually think the offensive coaching in the NFL is better than 10 years ago. And I watched Cam last night, and I'm like, he's not as dynamic a runner. He's, you know, it's a efficiency league as a thrower. Is there a market for Cam Newton anymore in this league?
It's hard to look at what he's doing with New England and say Cam is this or Cam is that. I thought he was very efficient last night. He didn't throw a touchdown, but if you look at New England's receivers, and this is no disrespect to any of their receivers, their starters would be a backup on probably every single team that's not New England.
Yeah.
And that's not being disrespectful. You look at Julian Edelman. He had his best game of his career with Cam Newton as his quarterback, not Tom Brady. Jacoby Myers last night, best game of his career with Cam Newton as a quarterback. Cam needs a really, really good supporting cast. Cam needs a receiver that when they play man-to-man, I know I can go to him and he's going to get open. Julio Jones, Devontae Adams type of guys. He needs one of those guys. He needs a defense that's going to keep him in the game. Nobody is the same player when you're 8-10 years into your career that you were when you first started. But there's still a place for him because he showed last night without weapons that other teams have, I can still get the job done.
Listen, Dallas, we were saying the Cowboys are now, they remind me a little of the Lakers. Huge brand. You have a singular family that owns them. And to change their trajectory, the Lakers made a seismic move. They fired Magic. They went and got LeBron. And they just said, we got to start this thing over. And Dallas keeps saying, we want Dak. And my takeaway is, listen, man, Russell Wilson, since he got to a Super Bowl against New England, he hasn't won back-to-back road games. You got to rebuild the offensive line. The best players aren't performing. Dak's coming off, you know, a major injury. Like, how do players look at Dallas? Like, when you look at New England, they're cold. They're cold-hearted. When I look at Dallas, it's like they're family. They're kind of into their feels. Like, how do players look at the Cowboys? How do you look at them as well-run, not well-run?
I look at the Cowboys as a well-run organization, a team that I would venture to say 90% of the league wouldn't mind playing for. There's a handful of teams out there that you would want to play for organizations. The Cowboys are one of them. The Steelers are another. Those are just teams that you know you would assume are always going to be successful. The Cowboys, they have hit a rough patch, and expectations of the Cowboys have probably been higher than they should have been last year. They were supposed to be this good team, and they just weren't as good as people thought they were going to be. But because you look at, and everybody keeps talking about their O-line, this and that, their O-line hasn't been good. They're always injured. They're not able to run the ball. And Dak has done well considering what he has worked with. Very good receivers, but up front, they haven't been that dominant offensive line in a few years now. They're going to have to rebuild that. If they do give Dak that extension, they're going to have to make a decision on Zeke. I don't believe you can keep both of them at the price they're at, or at the price that Dak wants to come in at and what Zeke is at. and be successful. So I believe a decision will be made. If they sign Dak to an extension, I don't believe Ezekiel Elliott will continue to be on the team.
Well, yeah, or, you know, the thing we threw out there is move Amari Cooper, because C.D. Lamb's good. Michael Gallup's pretty good. Go draft another receiver. I like Amari Cooper, but I can't pay Zeke, Dak, and Amari Cooper. I can't have those three. I just can't do it in the NFL.
Coop or Ezekiel Elliott, one of those two guys, and you're right, one of those two guys, if you can move them, but do you see anybody wanting to take Amari Cooper's contract on? I don't know if teams would be willing to take. He's a hell of a player. He's going to get open in one-on-one. He's a guy that every team would like to have on their team.
Yeah.
But at that price, do they want him?
You know, Bill Belichick can't draft a receiver to save his life.
Bill Cooper. Come holler at me. I got you. Bill, you holler at me. I got you. Come talk to me before the draft. Bill, I got you.
Good seeing you, buddy. Good luck with your house.
Colin, I appreciate it. Joy, you take care. You guys keep the great work up.
All right, thanks. He's been 2 years now. He's been living somewhere else. Oh, I've had buddies go through that.
It's a lot.
That's a lot of dust. Thank God he's got a rock solid marriage. It is brutal. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, lots of NBA news is about to start creeping in again.
What is that?
Feels like the season just ended, but the NBA draft is next Wednesday.
I just saw this. LaMelo Ball's going number one.
Well, there is some growing consensus that he will be the number one overall pick. According to ESPN's Jonathan Givenoy, the majority of NBA front offices believe LaMelo Ball will be selected first overall in the draft.
Wow.
There's still some question as to whether the Timberwolves will make the pick or whether another team will trade up to get LaMelo. The Bulls, Pistons, and Thunder have been named by NBA executives as teams that would be possibly interested in trading up to take him. According to Fox Bet, LaMelo has the second best odds to go number one. Anthony Edwards has the best odds from Georgia. Then James Wiseman at plus 700 from Memphis. Denny Advia at plus 3,000. And Obi Toppin from Dayton at plus 5,000.
Anthony Edwards is an interesting player. I could see him going to the Warriors. The Georgia kid.
I think LaMelo's obvious. Anthony Edwards and LaMelo Ball are the two biggest names in this draft. This draft's kind of interesting because obviously we didn't have the same kind of buzz about the draft as we usually do.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of weird. Like, the Warriors have a high pick, as you mentioned, and it's just a different year. But I really think if LaMelo goes to the right place, he is going to he already has a star factor to him. I think if he goes to the right place, he can develop, and he has some players around him that can, some veteran players that can elevate him. He's going to be very good wherever he lands.
But last year's draft had two guarantee hits. Ja Morant, Zion.
Yeah.
Nobody disputed they can play. There's a little more prospect here to this draft.
Yes.
A little more downside. LaMelo's, I've seen a ton of his highlights on YouTube. He's fun. He's a player.
He has a similar kind of experience as Luka did. Obviously, he didn't play in college, but he's been playing for the past 2 years against professional players internationally.
Much better shooter than Lonzo. He's got a nicer shot.
Yes. So NBA free agency begins at 6 p.m. Eastern on Friday, November 20th. That's next week, 2 days after the NBA draft. And the regular season is December 22nd with a 72-game season. So NBA season's right around the corner.
Yep.
It's approaching. Cam Newton has looked like a much improved player over the last 2 weeks. And after the win last night, he talked about what has changed.
I'm getting tired of sucking. As a competitor, you know what your standard is. And, you know, taking pride in your work, that's what it comes down to. You not being able to, you know, hold your head up because you're thinking too much, that's one thing. But at the same time, you're solely responsible for the performance that you put up. I just did my job today. And that's what it's supposed to be each and every week.
I told you, I felt good for Cam last night. Obviously, that was not the most beautiful game of football that we've ever seen played. And the stakes were much higher for the Jets than for the Patriots to lose that game. Even though players don't tank. Like, people argued with me last night, players don't tank.
Don't. No, the Jets players, they wanted to win. They thought they had it. Yeah,
yes. It's incredibly disappointing and frustrating to be on a team that's losing every single week. And when you have an opportunity to win, you still lose. But for Cam, he was 27-35, 274 passing yards and two rushing touchdowns. He's run for 66 touchdowns in his career, which ties him for 40th in NFL history. Number one amongst quarterbacks. Second is Steve Young with 43 and Aaron Rodgers with 28 at third. He's had 8 rushing touchdowns in 7 games this season. So he is improving. It was a bit of a, you know, an issue there. And then the next 3 games, they have the Ravens at the Texans and the Cardinals. It's come down to Buffalo and Miami, obviously, in this division.
Yeah.
But this is really what's happening with the Patriots this year is not that surprising. I didn't think the Patriots were going. I thought they were going to be the worst team in the division because I didn't think the Jets were going to be this bad.
We both did. We both. Yeah, I mean, I picked them for last in their division, and the Jets, as usual, surprised me with their ineptitude.
I mean, I'm more rooting for Cam this season. Not that I'm rooting against the Patriots. It's just that we knew what the Patriots were going to be this season. I'd still like to see Cam play well enough to get an opportunity next year. So the Cowboys are 2-7, putting them at the top of the draft order for 2021. Stephen Jones was asked about the potential of drafting a quarterback with their first pick.
Dak's our quarterback, and I mean, we're so fired up about him and, you know, him leading us in the future, and we're focused week to week.
Neither Dak Prescott or Andy Dalton are under contract for next season, so the Cowboys will have to decide whether to tag Dak Prescott again in 2021 at a cost of $37.68 million.
Wow.
Or let him hit free agency.
Wow.
So it's kind of become a question of if they can actually afford Dak Prescott.
Well, I mean, God.
With the salary cap going down.
Like, it's not glib here. They cannot afford Dak, Zeke, and Amari. Why didn't they trade Amari at the trade deadline with all those good young receivers? Like Cedric Wilson, CeeDee Lamb, and Michael Gallup. You could go into a season, draft one more at some point. Like, you can't have 3 guys that make that much money, quarterback, running back, wide receiver. That is, you got to save money somewhere.
Well, I mean, you could sign Dak Prescott to a long-term contract.
Then I still have to make up some of that salary because Zeke's not the player he was. So I'm paying a massive number for a good running back. They got to scale back. They got too many guys making way too much money.
Well, they would currently have the 3rd pick in the draft.
I'd trade down and get 2 picks.
Jets, Jags, Cowboys, Giants. Obviously, that could change.
If you were going to go with Zach, if you're going to go with Dak, here's what I would do, Dallas. I'd find somebody and say, give me 2 2s. You can have my 1 because I don't have to pay 2s. And by the way, a second round player is a starter in the NFL immediately.
And then you sign Dak to a franchise him again.
They don't need first round picks. They need players.
Yeah.
They're becoming what the Rams got last year. Like 7 guys make a fortune. You have no depth anywhere.
The Rams were good. The Rams went to the Super Bowl, and then the Rams were like still a decent team, and now they're still a competitive team.
Tyron Smith, left tackle, making a fortune. Never available. He just got 4 major contracts potentially on offense. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Jim Gray is here chatting about his new book, Talking to Goats. Michael Jordan, Ali, Tom Brady, that's next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
He's a multiple Emmy-winning sports reporter. His name is Jim Gray, and you've seen him at the biggest boxing matches, at the biggest sporting events for many of our lives. He's got a new book. I can't wait to read it. It's called Talking to Goats. The stories. It's not about zoo animals. It's about the greatest athletes of all time. Jim's first interview, he was 18 years old, was Muhammad Ali, who was the biggest star in the world. He is now joining us live, and we appreciate that. All right, how'd you get Muhammad Ali at 18 years old? What's the secret sauce to that, Jimbo?
Hey, Colin, thanks for having me. Well, I was a sports intern for the ABC station in Denver, KBTV, and my internship expired and they were converting from film to videotape. So all the union guys took the buyout. And so a bunch of people who didn't really have any idea what they were doing became videotape editors. I was in my edit room one morning very early getting ready for the draft, a Red Miller show. He was the Broncos coach. A lady named Sue Tews, the assignment editor, came running in. She said, Muhammad Ali's 2.5 hours early at the airport, run out and get him. Well, Ali was getting ready to fight Spinks, and then he was going to fight a Denver Bronco named Lyle Alzado. Well, I'd never done an interview before, so I went into the weatherman's office, tried to find a coat and tie, couldn't find anything, went out to Stapleton International Airport, did the interview with Ali. After the first question, he said, you're the one that's doing this interview? And everybody started to laugh. Well, Colin, that just made me feel so much more comfortable because I had gone from nervous about interviewing the most visible and famous person on the planet to now they were laughing. But they weren't laughing at me. They were you know, laughing to make me comfortable, the whole entourage. And so after the 3rd or 4th question, he said, you sound like the local Howard Cosell. Colin, that was the greatest compliment I had ever had in my life, and it gave me so much confidence. I took the interview back to the station. The news director was a man named Roger Ogden for ABC there. He looked at the tape, and he was with me for about 45 minutes, and he looked at it again, and he said, "Huh, we're going to put you in this tape on the air. It's barely adequate." So I tell everybody I've been barely adequate ever since.
The only athlete that rivals him in terms of flair and greatness, Muhammad Ali, is Michael Jordan. They're both like great looking, stylish, thoughtful, smart. What was it like to interview Jordan?
He was always impeccable. I mean, he I never once saw Michael have a bad public moment. He always was great. He'd pat every youngster on the head. You know, when he'd walk out of the building, you know, back when there was proximity, he'd sign autographs. He was nice to the security people. So interviewing him, Michael was just, you know, easy. He was easy to talk to. He was easy to be around. I know his teammates in The Last Dance have a different portrayal. But in terms of how he was with me and with the media, he was great. And he was just terrific in all those years that we had him on NBC. And, you know, in the pregame meetings where he would come in and Marv or Ahmad would interview him, he was just a perfect gentleman. And then a few times that I got to be with him outside of the court in Barcelona, we played golf on a few occasions, and he was just great. There was nothing intimidating off the court about Michael Jordan.
What about, here's somebody that's interesting, Mike Tyson. You interviewed him after the bizarre ear-biting Evander experience. Now that had to be odd, right?
That was quite odd, and that was one that I knew when it was going to happen after he bit the ear, that nothing like this would ever happen again. And you know, he left the ring and didn't talk in the ring, and we went back underneath. I was working with Showtime, where I still do the boxing, and David Dinkins, who is the producer, was in my ear, and he said, "See if you can get Don to get him to come out." So Don King brought him out. And Colin, it's the only time that I have ever seen actually somebody who is alive, and I could see their skull. That's how deep over his eye the headbutt was, and the wound that had opened. Wow. You could see the orbital bone in his skull. And that's why he felt he had to bite Evander Holyfield. That was the reasoning he had, that he had to retaliate. So we did the interview, and I took it in chronological order and asked him what had gone on. And finally, well, was that the proper response to bite his ear? And he answered the question. And I've always had tremendous respect and admiration for Mike Tyson, because at his worst moments, and he's had some bad, despicable moments, at his worst moments, Colin, he always had the wherewithal to stand there and answer the questions. He didn't hide behind some PR person.
Yeah.
He didn't come out with a statement 4 days later. He stood there and he took his medicine and he gave you a response. And that's very, very rare.
Were you surprised the pushback? I certainly was. The LeBron decision interview created. I still can't figure out why the nation imploded. I thought LeBron looked nervous and thoughtful. Were you shocked by kind of the national response and the anger at LeBron?
Yes, I was. And like Rich Paul has said to me and Maverick Carter, none of us had a crystal ball. None of us could foresee what went on there. And could we have been more sensitive to the fans in Cleveland? Absolutely. And could we have explained better that we were giving away millions upon millions of dollars, the biggest donation ever in the history of the Boys and Girls Club?
Wow.
Yes, we could have.
Wow.
So yes, we could have done better, but to make LeBron into a villain, it was wrong then, and it should have never occurred. And if you look at that show now and what the decision has become, that was the moment. It was the Curt Flood moment for this generation of player empowerment and of the birth, really, of communicating through social media and the rise of the Players Tribune and just how things go now, the reverberations of that show and the passage of time. The NBA players and all of sports, every player in sports owes a tremendous debt of gratitude to LeBron James.
Talking to GOATs. Now, we know you've done Tiger and we know you've done Brady, and I'm going to save those for people to buy the book because I want an autographed copy as well. But I got to ask you this.
I remember
interviewing Charles Barkley when I was a local reporter, and I knew he was going to be a star. He was so funny. He made fun of my shoes. He made fun of me. You just knew. You're like, that guy's going to be hysterical on TV. Is there anybody that's not a star that you interviewed and you just loved? You just went home and, you know, that maybe we wouldn't talk about, or maybe a lower star, or somebody perhaps you haven't interviewed you want to.
Well, you know, Charles was great. And I say in the book that Charles was the most entertaining, most fun guy to be around. And we used to go up and down the Ramblas at night in Barcelona at the Olympics, and then hung out with him a tremendous amount. And Mike Tyson threatened to kill me on the air. And 45 seconds later, he kissed me on the cheek. And I'm still trying to figure out what's more disturbing. Charles Barkley kissed me on my cheek twice on national television. And for no apparent reason. At least Mike was trying to make up for threatening to kill me.
Yeah.
Charles did it, and I still don't know why he did it. But to answer your question, I mean, there's a lot of guys who I've walked away and I thought, you know, that's what a pleasant, really great guy. And, you know, they're superstars too. I mean, Brady is as nice a guy and as cordial as anybody you'd ever want to meet. Wayne Gretzky, Julius Irving, Joe Namath. I don't know anybody who's more comfortable, who's been a bigger superstar, who forced a merger of a league and brought the AFL to this Super Bowl that we now see, than Joe Namath. So, and a guy who was really understated, but who had just an incredible heart and really didn't seek the limelight or anything. I love spending time around Marvelous Marvin Hagler. He was really special, Colin.
Oh, yeah. You know, my first job, I don't want to waste time here. My first job out of college was covering boxing. So instead of going to your usual first job in Midland, Texas, I got to cover Hagler, Sugar Ray Leonard, and I've always thought of it as the great career break. Now, I made about $8 an hour, and I lived on peanut brittle. But both of us started basically for free. The book is called Talking to Goats. Buy it. I want a copy. This is just great. Jim, absolute pleasure. The Emmy-winning sports reporter, sportscaster of the year in America in 1997. Great seeing you, and thanks for stopping by our show.
Colin, thanks for having me. Love your show. Appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks again. You bet. Yeah, I felt like his first interview was Muhammad Ali. And for a lot of you listening to me that may be 20 or 30, Michael Jordan and Muhammad Ali, Muhammad's the only athlete of my life that I think's bigger than Jordan. But remember, we didn't have cable television. Like,
That's for sure.
Muhammad Ali was the most known human being.
I think he's the most famous athlete of all time.
If you took Muhammad Ali today with his ability to talk, and by the way, he poked back at the media, he took political stands, he would be like LeBron but funnier. He was funny. He was generally funny. He was like a comedian. His
but also,
timing,
I mean, you have to think, when we have social media now, the access that you have to athletes is completely different than, like, as famous as he was in a time where everybody didn't have a TV, and like
there was
nothing like it.
Newspapers, ABC, NBC, CBS. That's it.
Yeah.
Fox didn't, we didn't have a network.
No, I think he's the most famous athlete of all time.
I think Jordan's second.
Yeah.
RecTech Grills, RecTechwithaQ.com, built by grillers for grillers. Check them out. RecTech Grills. Also, M Drive, they got a new shakeout. One scoop every morning. Complex blend of protein and vitamins. It's called mdrivestart.com. We'll see you tomorrow. It's The Herd.